Okay, we're going to call the Senate Education Committee meeting to order. Today is April 2nd. The time is 8:03. So far with us is Co-Chairman Thomas and Senator Stevens and myself, Senator Meyer. Welcome everybody here on this second day of April. And is there anything that we should discuss before we go into today's business?
No.
Okay, seeing none. This morning we're going to have a confirmation hearing for the governor's nominee for the University Board of Regents. Regent Bob Martin, some of you may or may not know, resigned in February, and the governor's office submitted his replacement nomination for our consideration. The new nominee is Dale Anderson of Juneau, and he is online, I believe. And then we're going to hear from Commissioner Hanley. We've pretty much through our session, and we've had a lot of topics come up, Commissioner, that we'd like to ask you directly, get your input on. A lot of these having to do with the standards. So we'll address that here in just a minute. So why don't we go ahead and start, since we have Mr. Anderson online, we'll start with the confirmation hearing. The Board of Regents is comprised of 11 members. Each serves an 8-year term, appointed by the governor. The board was established by the Alaska Constitution and is responsible for the University of Alaska policy and management through the university president. Mr. Anderson, welcome to the Senate Education Committee. Are you online, sir?
Good morning, Senator Meyer. Thank you.
Okay. If you could just put yourself on the record, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to serve on the Board of Regents. And before you get started, I want to welcome Senator French as well. So, Mr. Anderson, the floor is yours.
Thank you, and thank the committee for the opportunity of meeting with you this morning. My name is Dale Anderson. I'm from Juneau. I've been in Alaska. First time I came was in 51 and moved back permanently with my family in 1953 and grew up in Juneau. Graduated from Juneau Douglas High School, went on to get my university degree at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, and then came back to Alaska and have been here in several different areas, both in the public and the private sector, since graduation from college. I think what I bring to the table is a real wide body of life experiences that I think will add a great deal to the discussion of the board and bring different perspectives that I think will certainly add to the deliberations of the board and moving ahead and creating the best university in Alaska that we can possibly have. I don't know if you have any particular questions, but my experience, again, has been both in public and private sector. I've owned several different businesses in town. I'm primarily right now involved in the financial services industry and have been for the last 10 years. I served as a legislative aide for the House Finance Committee. I also served as commissioner for the Limited Entry Commission. That's my public service. Plus, I also was on the Juneau Assembly. So that background, I think, brings a basket of life experiences that I think will be valuable to the board.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. And I want to welcome Senator Davis has joined us as well. Is there questions for Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Dale. Good to hear from you, and of course, we've known you for years here in the legislature as well as the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. What would you say are some of the issues facing the university? What are some of the problems you see that need to be addressed in the next few years at the University of Alaska?
Well, having my son go through the university, my daughter-in-law also graduated from UAS. I have a grandson starting next spring. And so I've been involved in UAS a fair amount. And, you know, there's good things happening in the university. I mean, I've been very pleased with the progress that I've seen as far as the university working together as a whole. There, in the past, there seems to be some competition between, and I think it's undue competition between the different campuses. I would like to certainly see that as a much more unified push forward to make it a very unified university system rather than Anchorage versus Juneau, Juneau versus Anchorage, or Anchorage versus Fairbanks. I think we all have pieces to the puzzle that are very important to the whole, and to pull those together I think would be one of the prime things that I would really push for. The process of moving kids through and not only kids, students, but young students, but also adults through the process of graduation. It's a little alarming to me that, you know, the national average for a student going through college is now pushing 6 years rather than 4 years. It's adding a lot of expenses to the students' education costs. So better guidance for them to go through the university process and make sure that they're on track would be also another area that I'd really like to look at. Another is unification of some programs. For example, the engineering programs, making sure that they are meeting the needs of the jobs required by industry. The fisheries area is one of that I'm very interested in, and making sure that there's the programs that are involved in research and the influence that they have on the state fisheries would be unified, would be very efficient going forward. Those kind of things. Just I think I bring to the table the ability to look at organization, and certainly efficiencies. Bottom line has always been very important to me, whether it's a public entity or a private entity. So those are the issues that I see right at this juncture. I guess the one other one would be making sure when a student comes to the university that they're prepared to start. We have a lot of remedial issues right now where kids are coming in and not fully being prepared for college level work, and so they're forced into a situation where they have to take remedial classes to get to the ones that really bear on their university education. So that's another issue. You know, these are all big time issues. I mean, they're big picture issues. Coming onto the board, I don't really carry a preconceived agenda here, but those are certainly issues that I'd like to see addressed, and I would love to help resolve.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Long
thank
answer
you,
to a short question.
No, good answer. Thanks.
Very good. Senator French has a question. Go ahead, Senator French.
Thanks, Chairman. And good morning, Mr. Anderson. Could you tell me what your views are with respect to student aid? Does the state do enough to make college affordable for Alaskan students?
Student aid is an interesting subject, of which I don't have a lot of experience in student aid. Other than my daughter used to work for the post-secondary education agency, but student aid is very important, and making sure that we have affordable education for our students. I think, you know, my experience being in a number of consumer-focused businesses, whether it's been the fishing lodge or real estate or the financial services industry that I'm in now, I have a bed and breakfast. You know, those are all businesses that are very, very focused on consumer and making sure that the consumer is treated right. And I think we need to bring a new focus onto who really are the clients of the university, and the clients of the university are the students. And so I would love to see a new effort put forward to make sure that our clients are properly taken care of and assisted through the program. And if the student aid is that need that they have, then we should be able to figure out some method to provide for those who are qualified or are needing the student aid.
Thank you. Just to follow up, sure. Thank you. And it's a complicated area. But as you know from your financial advisement background, student loans can't be discharged in bankruptcy. And so, it's troubling to me that we're saddling young people, young Alaskans, with huge amounts of debt early in their lives, debt that can't be discharged, and when we have ample resources to help them. So my hope is that you will be an advocate there on the Board of Regents for greater amounts of state aid to our Alaskan kids so they can get off on a strong foot as they begin their higher education career.
Senator French would be happy to look into it and certainly give it a good view.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Other questions? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Anderson, for your answers. There are a great deal of issues that face the university. We hear about them almost on a daily basis. You've enumerated several of them. I was just curious of your thoughts of how or if the university should have a greater role in a variety of the industries in the state of Alaska, particularly the oil industry, fishing industry, tourism industry, wherever they may come into play. We make a fairly good use of ICER, but not necessarily of the to the research capacity that the university has. More specifically to me, the oil industry, I know in other states where the oil industry operates, they spend and promote the universities with huge numbers of grants and research commitments. And here we have very little of that. We do get some money from the industries, but not on the scope of what it is in other places. And if you have any opinion at this point in time of how we might actually expand that role of the university with the various industries that supply so much revenue to the state.
Excuse me, was Senator Thomas?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Thomas, thank you. I'm gonna be learning a lot about that in the next 6 months, I imagine. But as far as trade, industry trade education, I think it's one of the most important aspects of the university's role. Academia, of course, is the centerfold of a university, but trade, trade classes, preparing Alaskans to work within a particular industry is of utmost importance. I'm a very strong advocate of trade, of trade education. And we've got to figure out a way that we can have an effective partnering, between the university, between the Department of Education, between educators, between industry, and our communities. We have to promote efficiencies that utilize knowledge and culture and traditional factors to build academic and technical skills, necessary to put these kids into the workforce. And there is just a plethora of opportunity in those three industries, or the three or four that you mentioned. In fisheries, we have an incredible fisheries research group, and both in Fairbanks and Juneau, in association with the NOAA facility out there at Lena, that is very, very important to the fisheries industry. And that's one of course, that I have a great deal of interest, having had that in my background. But we've got to figure out a way to make that more efficient. We've got to figure out a way to make it more unified, so that can look at it as cost savings, efficiencies built into that system. But trade education is will certainly be on my radar as one of the most important things that we can advance through this university system.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Anderson? Okay, seeing none, thank you for joining us this morning. And unless there is objection from the Senate Education Committee, we're going to go ahead and forward Mr. Anderson's name to a joint session of the legislation for consideration. As a reminder, this does not reflect an intent of any member to vote for or against the confirmation of the nominee during the next session. So why don't we take a brief at ease. Members will sign the confirmation committee report, and then we'll have Commissioner Hanley join us. Come back to order. With us this morning is Commissioner Hanley. I appreciate you joining us this morning. I understand you've been kind of headed over at the other body's education committee, so we haven't seen you so much, but you've had good representation here, and they've done a good job in your absence. But we did want to talk to you quite some, in particular, that issue that's come up over this session having to do with Alaska Education Standards and the National Common Core Standards. And I'm going to go ahead and just start with the first question, if that's okay, Commissioner. And at least three of us here are from the Anchorage area, and we heard last week or 2 weeks ago that Anchorage has now adopted the national standards, which is kind of contrary to what that we're trying to do from a statewide perspective. But then when I look at the state standards versus the national standards, they're almost identical. So I guess my question I have is, why don't we just go with the national standards? So that way, if our kids transfer from Alaska to Washington or Oregon, you know, the standards are all the same. The teachers will all be teaching the same standards. And then I have talked to our colleague over in the that's the chairman of the education House Education Committee, and he points out that you know, even the national standards don't really relate to the kids, and he brings up a good point. Do our kids really need to know complex mathematic equations? He's afraid that that's one of the reasons why 30% of our kids drop out, is because teachers are teaching to that standard, kids can't relate, and they give up. And that our standards, even the national standards, are kind of set up for the 30% that go on to college, and then of that 30%, only half at best actually get a four-year degree. So are our standards, in his terms, Representative Dick, are they set up for the elite 10%, 15% that actually go to college, and we're ignoring the other 90%, and in particular the 30% that drop out? So that's my question, Commissioner.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure where to start. I can start with that if you'd like. For the record, my name is Mike Hannon, the Commissioner of Education and Early Development. To start, I'd like to clarify the dropout rate. And the dropout rate in Alaska is really, if we try to compare it to how we do our graduation rate, and they're not necessarily converses of each other, our dropout rate is about 20%, not 30%. This last year it was 4.7%. Dropout rates are done on an annual basis. The graduation rate is a cohort. So the graduation rate is how many ninth graders graduated in 4 years. So, but if I were to take the annual rate for this last year, 4.7, to the year before that, a 5.1, and try to make a comparable rate, we would have about a 20% dropout rate. Now, that does mean we have a 68% graduation rate. That does leave some students, that doesn't add up to 100% yet. We also have students that graduate in their fifth and sixth years that don't count in the graduation rate. We also have some severely cognitive students with cognitive disabilities that move on into life skills transitions after high school but don't technically get a diploma. And we also have students who get a certificate of achievement but don't get a diploma. So that adds up to 100%. But our dropout rate is about 20%.
Just, Chairman, before we pass this up, how is that
comparable to other the rest of the country?
We're slightly higher. I don't have the numbers for the other states right off the top of my head, but I know we're slightly higher.
Okay.
So that will address that part. Maybe the best thing to do is to begin where our standards are. The beginning of your question was in regards to Anchorage, and where do we sit in regards to the Common Core of the rest of the country? And then we can build towards the concerns that Representative Dick has, if that works.
Mm-hmm.
About the same time our standards were being developed, about 2 years ago, and it's been 2 years in the process of developing our standards, there was a movement. We've never had a national set of standards, but the closest we have come is to this recent set of Common Core standards that was put out by the National Governors Association, as well as the Council of Chief State School Officers, that's Commissioner's organization. CCSSO, that Council of Chief State School Officers, is the one that really developed those standards with input from around the country. So when we looked at our standards, we said, okay, the first question I asked is, why aren't we going to be a Common Core? I understood we weren't going to be a Common Core state. Why not? Because I wanted to make sure that for our kids' sake, we weren't just saying, you know, well, it's because, you know, we're in Alaska and we don't really care how they do it outside. Because I don't think that's an okay attitude to have with kids, with our students who need to compete head-to-head with students from across this country. So I did clarify that. And one of the key things that came down is to be a Common Core state, you had to take their set of standards and take them set in stone. You could not touch them. You could add some to them, up to 15%, but you couldn't touch them. What the stakeholders, over 200 stakeholders, did in Alaska was they referenced heavily the Common Core. And they said, okay, what's good? We want to utilize the expertise that's gone into this set and my instructions, which had already been put in place, where we want to make sure that we do not drop below the level of rigor represented in the Common Core. And so what you'll see in our current standards, our proposed standards, are that they are more similar than they are different. But we have done some small changes, have made some small changes. And if these standards get adopted, we will continue to be able to make small changes as we see the need, whereas people who adopt the Common Core, you can't. I think what we've done is I don't think we've reinvented the wheel. I think we've taken the wheel and we've made some minor adjustments to make it better. One of the things, and actually most recently, I asked CCSSO, I asked them to review our standards. And I said, look at our Alaska standards, please compare them to the Common Core. And they gave them to a Common Core implementation team, and they did a side-by-side analysis. And they would agree that they are more the same than they are different, equal in rigor. As a matter of fact, they are so close that I honestly believe that we will be able to access commercially developed curriculum that is aligned to the Common Core. And there are two assessment consortia out there right now called PARC and Smarter Balance. They're developing assessments for the Common Core. And because our standards are so closely, I won't say in line, but they are basically very similar to the Common Core, we'll be able to access those assessments as well. I have no doubt that we'll be able to compare ourselves with Alaska standards side by side with the standards of the Common Core. So I think when our kids test here, we'll be able to compare that to testing in other ones. Just to show you briefly, this is the result of that I got back from the side-by-side analysis. The yellow is the parts that are the same. The changes are, and she sent me a brief synopsis, but the changes are we put a few extra things in there. We put patterning skills in math down in first and second grade, whereas the Common Core doesn't put them until third grade. It's not a huge deal, but we thought that was important. That's where they are now in Alaska's proposed or in Alaska's current standards. We changed some of the examples that they gave to Alaskan examples. When there was an example for literature, it says that the student will be able to contrast and compare different items. They I don't even remember what their example was, but ours is I like large dogs better than small dogs because the large dog can pull sleds. It's just simply an Alaskan example. The standard is the same, but it's an example that, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's a little bit more Alaskanized. We've done that throughout, and yet you'll see that I would say 98, maybe 97% of them are identical. So in that sense, we are side by side with the Common Core in regards to rigor, but we have the flexibility to make those changes we see that are needed.
So, Commissioner, if I don't mean to interrupt, but so does that mean Anchorage can't change their standards since they've adopted national standards, and does that cause concern to you that the biggest school district has gone that route?
It doesn't cause concern to me. Basically, the responsibility for all of our districts is to align their curriculum with the Common Core, with the state standards, whatever those state standards will be, and assess on those standards so that no matter what curriculum they're using, there's a lot of ways to get to the set of standards that we've deemed as appropriate for our kids to be successful beyond high school. Being the Common Core, there's a good chance that Anchorage may say, well, we want to use this assessment. It may be the one that the state uses as well. So in that sense, because they are, I hate to say synonymous, but they're pretty darn close. I don't have a concern that Anchorage has said, look, the state's moving a little too slow for us. We want to jump out ahead. We want to get these things rolling. And we want to increase the set of the level of rigor that the current, above the current level of standards. They're actually one of four districts that have moved ahead. The others have done it more quietly. But Juneau is actually working with the Common Core. Gateway School District and the Copper River School District have all moved towards the Common Core. So I don't know what that says about our states moving forward in a timely way. I think we've been a little bit slow in increasing the rigor of our own standards. But I don't have concerns about districts that have said, we're moving towards the Common Core because I think we'll be so closely aligned that we'll be able to offer the professional development to those districts. Granted, if they choose to assess differently, they can surely do that. There's still a requirement to take the state assessments, but I don't think they'll want to do that because I think they're going to be so similar.
Okay, and then one more question, and we'll open up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well,
I didn't know you had another question.
Yeah,
I was going to back on.
I think this one will be brief. So, did you have representation from business and the trades and the unions when you came up with your standards? Because that's the other concern: is that are we actually teaching our kids to be a plumber or electrician or
Correct. We honestly believe that these are career ready, college and career ready standards. That when a student achieves these proficiency in these standards or the Common Core standards, that they will be ready and have the skills needed to move into career training in any career. And what I told Representative Dick in House Education was, I believe that these standards will meet or exceed the standards required in any career. And his comment was he's concerned with the exceed part, that maybe it's too much. And I would always err on that side of offering our kids too much. But I will tell you that when we the people that we've looked for when we developed our standards, and we have not had extensive involvement from workforce, it's just difficult. People don't gravitate towards working in educational fields and educational standards. But among some of the people we've looked for and asked to be involved, Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, Alaska Rotaries, UA Chancellors, the faculty at Iliksavik College, Avtec, Department of Labor, NACTEC, SAVIC, Alaska, AFL-CIO, Disability Law, Best Beginnings, Institute of the North. We've got about 40 that we really pursued to get that input. We only ended up with about six or seven that actually had much input, that stayed with it and gave us input. What we are doing now, in the public comment period, these standards went out to the State Board in December. We've asked that they go out for an extended period of public comment. And rather than just waiting for public comment to come in, which we might do on smaller issues, this one we're actually moving out and setting up meetings around the state. We just had our first business meeting on Friday here in Juneau. And so we had representatives from all different businesses in Juneau come and spent the morning with us reviewing our standards, giving us input that we'll be putting together up on the state board.
Very good. Senator Davis, you have a question.
Yes. You mentioned that you will be able to get information from the national two groups that they have. It was my understanding if you were not a part of the Common Core, you would not be able to access that information. Did they change?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, they haven't changed yet, and I'm hearing those concerns. We still sit at the table. We still sit at the table within those meetings, in those consortia. We're not allowed to vote because we're not And so in the development of those assessments, because we're not a common core state, but being built with federal funding for states, for the state's use, I fully anticipate and will fully advocate for our use if there is some resistance to the fact that we wouldn't be able to access those assessments, especially when I look and we see that we've, by the people who developed the Common Core, reviewed our standards. I would advocate hard at the national level if for some reason there was resistance to us being able to access those assessments.
Unless it changes, it's not a resistment. It already been stated that if you're not a part of it, you may come and sit there, but you can't participate, and you cannot utilize their training or the information that they have. But my question is, if you are 97%, you say maybe, aligned with the national core standards, why shouldn't we just be aligned with them? The 3% doesn't make that much difference that we couldn't, you know, add that. And you say you could do 15% changes.
Right.
So you could accomplish that in the Common Core. You wouldn't have to have a separate set. That leaves us out there, what, one of the, what is it, 47 states that have adopted the Common Core?
There are 45. There are three now that are reviewing whether they want to be a part of it, but there are 45.
Okay.
So, yes, we are one of five that have not adopted it.
In answer to my question.
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Davis, the changes we made are not an addition of 15 or that 15%. They are changes to what we felt were important changes, including the changes to putting patterning in, you know, the first and second grades. We just felt that that was important for the integrity of the Alaska standards. We had things we wanted to do, and to be honest with you, I would guess that other states are probably doing the same thing, but to the fidelity of what they've told us, as you buy in lock, stock, and barrel, and if you want to change anything, then change it, but you can't wear the badge that says Common Core. I think we can access everything that the Common Core curriculums will offer and still be able to make the adjustments to our standards over the course of the next years as we implement it, as we see fit.
My main concern is how do you implement it? If you adopt it, you said they're going to go into effect in 2015. Is that right?
These standards?
Mm-hmm.
If these standards are adopted in June, which is our goal, then they will go to the school districts in the fall. So they will begin being implemented the same time Anchorage's will be.
And so how are you preparing the teachers and other staff to adopt to those Common Cores if you're going to do it that quick? Because that's the main thing. Teachers are concerned that they're not going to be able to get the training that they need and the support that they need. And I don't hear anything or see anything that says this is what we're doing to address that.
Right.
That's what they're doing at the national level. What are we doing?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, that's a good question. And we, with these standards, it is difficult to put funding in place for training for standards that haven't been adopted. So our first goal is to get these standards adopted. They won't be assessed until 2016. And maybe that was the question you were asking. Many of the states that adopted the Common Core and have started those this year, basically, morally and legally, we need to give our kids the opportunity to learn the new standards. And so that tends to be 4 years. So a kid walking into high school as a freshman, they'll be tested on the new standards their senior year. So 4 years. So ours would be moving into schools this coming year, be assessed in 2016. I fully believe that if we're going to raise the rigor, the expectations for our students, we need to strengthen a system that allows our students to get there as well. And I do believe that next year we'll be looking at adding some professional development. I'd anticipate working with the governor to implement some funding to do professional development around the state. Because I think you're right, it is critical. You can't just get more, raise the bar for students without raising that bar and training for teachers.
Very good, thank you. Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Commissioner, for your responses. It's an evolving world, and things are always changing, so setting standards is always a difficult process, but we're saddled with the responsibility of doing that. And but as I was looking at the high school mathematics standards, I don't even know what the properties of a dilation are, and I was curious, and I thought, well, I ended up being fairly successful. At least I thought so. A lot of people might say, look where he ended up, a legislator. Good Lord. But anyhow, aside from that.
Could you take his degree away? Is it too late?
Yeah. I don't know where that would have assisted me. However, if I knew more about it, I might have found a use for it somewhere along the line, or maybe daily even, for all I know, but I just don't know what that is. So I'm curious how we are, as some previous questions, how we're going to make sure that we build relevance along with the standards. And there was some discussion about who had looked at this and evaluated, and I think that's extremely important, because I'm curious, and I realize there are other standards and other for other things, but the mathematics ones, to me, if I'd had to pass some test that required these, I'd have been in tough shape, I can tell you that. So I'm just curious as to how absolutely necessary these types of things are, and if they're not maybe almost detrimental in the case of somebody, unless we start extremely early, and I think that's important, you know, starting very early to make sure that people are brought along, and I don't think you could really explain this to a second or a third grader, so you're not going to be able to sit them down and say, this is why you're going to need to know this stuff, you know, but that they are brought along and will understand it so that they just pick it up and it's just the normal course of activity. But I'm having difficulty understanding why an attorney or a psychologist or a sociologist or a realtor or an investment person or something might use some of these math standards. And with that in mind, I'm curious if it wouldn't be better to now, before we put in place things that, unless they're driven down into the early grades, might not serve much purpose, and have it evaluated by some of those other groups of people. I realize you probably asked a lot of people. You mentioned some.
Right.
And that's great. You know, I think that's a good thing to do. But if you didn't get much feedback from some others, I think that would be a worthwhile exercise, at least, to do that. And it might cause people to... There are different tracks. We know people are headed different directions. So it just bothers me as I read some of the stuff, and most of it in the math standards, at least, I didn't even understand what they were talking about.
Right, through the chair, Senator Thomas, that is one of the reasons we're spending so much time working on this public comment period and doing some real focused work with employers. The first one, Juneau, we have got coming up next is Metsu, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Bethel. And spending the time looking specifically for that, what we may find, and what I noticed in the conversation that we had in Juneau just on Friday, we may find that some of the standards on here are marked with a plus, which means mm-hmm. that they won't be for all students. We may find adding some pluses to a few more of the standards and saying these are for those students who are going to continue on in a particular track. You know, they will be for these students. But we may find that we add a few more pluses because of that concern. The one thing that the strength of these standards, though, much different than the proposed ones we have, they were built together for continuity and alignment from kindergarten through 12th grade. So there is a strengthening right down to the kindergarten grades that will lead these kids right up to a progression of understanding and needing these standards. The one thing that has hit me is that if we wanted to point out a specific career, and it's a conversation that I've had with Representative Dick as well, you could probably say, well, I could eliminate a good portion of these standards because a plumber won't necessarily need this, or a lawyer may not necessarily need this. But what we do see is that today, on the average, every adult has changed careers 5 times. So what we do need to do is provide them more than a set of skills that allow them to be a plumber or allow them to be a lawyer. We need to provide them a set of base skills that allow them to move from one to the other as they see the need. And that's what I think these standards do. Representative Feige brought up the idea of widgets, you know, and we need to give them a specific set of skills. And I said, if we knew what that specific set of skills was, that'd be okay, but I think our obligation in education is to keep every door open so they get to choose where they want to go. And I understand the concern my son and daughter just graduated from high school. They're both in college right now, and I stopped giving help in math to my son, you know, his junior year, because he was moving beyond what I did in college. You know, I took calculus, you know, my first year in college, and he was taking it his junior year, and Calc 2 and on and on. But we are seeing that skill set needed in a broad set of occupations. So that's where I would defend where we are. We may find that a few of these skills will end up with pluses on them, a few additional skills, but I do think it's important for us to keep the doors open for all of our kids.
And I certainly, thank you, I certainly understand that situation because I've been one that has pushed for particularly math standards because when my kids used to ask me about it, I used to say, well, if I give you those answers, you know, you'll never be studying hard enough. So take a look at the book for a little while longer and then see if you can't figure it out, and then I'll help you. And they usually figured it out, which thankfully they did. But, you know, in the trades, so many kids think, and that's the reason we've worked on that issue, that they're going to become a plumber, an electrician, a fitter, you know, a refrigeration expert or something. All things that deal with building things, putting things in place, understanding technical manuals and being able to figure out how you cut a circle and how you bend pipes so that the first time you bend it, you can put it in place and it gets around a corner the way it's supposed to. So certainly understand that. But I'm hoping that whatever standards we set do not cause us to affect, as has bothered me since I think that I understand it, that the high school graduating exam has been a reduced test to allow for things to take place. I hope that we don't set standards that are unrealistic for some people that just can never come to the understanding that they need this type of math or this type of something else and then become discouraged or whatever if that is in fact what they're going to be tested on. And as we start testing earlier on and somebody says, I just can't do it, you know, so I'm going to go my own way, or think they're going to go their own way. That's one of the only concerns I have. Not for lowering standards necessarily, but making those practical standards. And I do understand the interchange and how many people change occupations, and certainly a lot work construction and then go on to own businesses or whatever, and so they need to have a broader understanding of the world realistically. So, but, boy, after I looked at this one, I said, I don't want to look at any more of them here. I'll be too discouraged by the end of the day.
But you should, because, you know, if you move from those top-level math standards, there are a lot of others that make sense
thank you.
To most of us. To the chair, Senator Thomas, it is an interesting dilemma we have in these new standards, as we have one side. Several people saying, why don't we just go to the Common Core? And the other concern that I think you represented here this morning, the other concern, and this isn't the only place that I've heard it, the other concern is, you know, these are too hard. They should be, you know, some of these should be moved back and moved out. So, you know, the Common Core, this is pretty close to the Common Core. And do we adopt the Common Core or do we put something else in place? I think the key for Alaska, and actually the key for all states, the relevance becomes in the classroom with the curriculum. The standards are just the goal, the target. The curriculum is how to get there. And I think we're seeing some big moves forward, especially in like CTE. And seeing some of those programs wrap some of these standards into specific training skills the students are doing in those career and technical education programs and theme-based in all of those programs.
Senator French has a question.
Thank you. You can just pull back a little bit and tell me who has the final say on the adoption of the standards?
Through the chair, Senator French, the State Board of Education.
And what's the timeline for that? When do you expect that decision to be made?
That meeting is on June
8th and 9th.
June 8th and 9th. The last part of public comment will be, I think, May 17th, to give them a time to consolidate all the public comment.
And are you seeing an outcome where the State Board may adopt standards that are different from the Anchorage standards, for example?
The Anchorage standards are the Common Core. What is before the State Board right now are these set of standards. The Alaska proposed standards. So I don't think the State Board would be moving towards the Common Core. I would anticipate that they'd be making a decision
on the
one way or the other on
modified.
These. Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else, Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, just a caution. You know, I mean, I understand maybe taking questions that are about trolleys and kids in Alaska don't understand and change you to sled dogs, but kids in Kodiak don't understand sled dogs either. So be careful what you change because it may not be any more understandable to a kid than trolleys.
Thank you.
Need to put a fish in there, right?
Yeah, put a fish in there.
Fish in Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess how does this relate to the education program at the university when we were cranking out teachers. Does that mean we have somewhat, maybe not necessarily dramatic, but are there changes contemplated that would be worked with the university to make sure that those are teachers that are currently going to the university, or those that are headed to the university are going to be brought up to speed with a little more knowledge of some of these things, particularly in the, for the elementary school? I think that's what bothers me the most, or concerns me the most, is that people are going to get to a certain point and all of a sudden something's going to be required of them, and they're just not going to be have the background nor really the desire to learn that, because they have made up their mind that they're going to be something, and that something does not require this kind of math or these kind of other standards. That's probably my biggest concern.
Great. Through the chair, Senator Thomas, we are working directly with the university. As a matter of fact, ICER CAPER is actually vetting these standards, comparing them to the courses required, the credit-bearing courses required in their 2 and 4 year programs. So they're doing that as we speak. President Gamble has given his support to the university and in that regard. So we're looking forward to that comparison. It will be a nice bridge of these standards into the colleges and the universities. The other aspect of that is the state board also has direct say in the teacher prep programs. And so they'll be meeting with the regents coming up here. I think it is at our June meeting. Part of the conversation will be teacher prep and what are the programs that the university has in place. So there will be some say, there will be some continuity moving from the K-12 system into the university system.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Davis.
I should know, but I don't. How many students do we have statewide? Total number?
About 129,000, 130,000.
In somewhere in that
line. Yeah.
So say around 130,000. 130,000. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
So, and I apologize, Commissioner. The 30% number are just those who don't graduate, but they don't necessarily drop out. Is that the distinction?
That's correct. I honestly look at our fifth and sixth year seniors. I look at those as success stories. They felt connected enough to come back. For whatever reason, their friends moved on and they came back, but they don't count. As well as students who get a certificate of achievement. They may not have passed the HSGQE, that high school graduation qualifying exam, but they still finished their 4 years. And
we may want to talk about that next, by the way.
And that's always a topic.
Another meeting, another day, another time. Okay, well, we're just about out of time.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other question.
Okay, sure. Senator Davis.
Is that information online, if I wanted to see that?
The standards?
No, the standard, the evaluation that you got from National?
No.
It's not?
No, this was an email to me. I could see if I can get a copy to you.
The other thing, once you have gone statewide and getting ready to come back to the state board, what are you doing about the comments that's been made? Are they going to be printed where one might be able to see them and review them, or?
Through the chair, absolutely.
Okay.
So are you asking if you could view them?
Yes.
Well, yes. You'll be able to view them. The board will be able to view them.
Okay.
We're going to try to consolidate them into categories, basic, you know, general areas of concern or suggestions.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner, this is actually our last meeting that we have scheduled. We're waiting to see if some House bills now come over. They may or may not. And even if they do, we may or may not want to hear them, depending on what they are. If some of the members here have additional questions that we'd like to have you come back and address the committee, would you be available? I mean, I can see possibly getting more information on the intervention programs we're doing in the rural Alaska, the pre-K programs that may or may not be coming forward. The ICER study, I would like to ask you briefly about that. We're contemplating doing an ICER study to help us determine how best to fund education in the future. They've made a proposal to us. We're considering it. We'll have to rely on Senator Thomas to put it in the capital budget for us if we go that route. But I understand you're doing an ICER study as well, or have been. Is that correct? Or on pre-K programs?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. I thought, Edward, did you tell me?
No.
Oh, standards.
So it's just their work on the standards.
Okay. Okay.
Right now.
Sorry.
didn't think I missed something.
Well, all I heard was ICER study. So, and obviously, that's a that I guess that's something to us if we pursue that route. But is that something the administration would be interested in as well? Because obviously, we're at a little bit of a disagreement here on how to adequately fund education, whether it be through the formula, outside the formula, et cetera. So.
Senator Myers, I was I listened into the conversation when Lexi and Diane from ICER testified, and I'm going to talk to Diane today. I think the idea of looking into education is always a good one. Introspection is great, and having someone outside looking in and saying, hey, here's some suggestions. But I reviewed some of the testimony and the handouts that she gave that to me later. I've got some questions for her, just some concerns. A $70,000 study, and when I looked at the gentleman, Larry Pikus, that'll do that, he's got some formulaic things that he's done. It's not new research, but you can plug in the numbers from different districts and say, you know, here's what it'll look like. I'm going to ask her that question. I want it to be what you're asking for, and when I first looked at it, I wasn't convinced it was. But I'll ask her that today. And again, I have no problem with looking at the educational system and improving it. But when I saw something without new research and kind of a formulaic approach, I don't know that necessarily gives us the right picture. So I'll be glad to give you that feedback after I talk to Diane.
That'll be good.
Yeah, we'd like to get that feedback from you. Okay, is there anything else committee members have for the commissioner or for the committee in general? Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for joining us today. You cleared up a lot of questions that and comments that we've been hearing kind of in the halls of the Capitol. So thank you.
Great, thanks.
Okay, so as I mentioned, we will not have a meeting on Wednesday or Friday. We don't have any meetings scheduled for this week. Will at some point in time probably be in the 24-hour rule, so we'll see what comes first as far as meetings next week. So just stay tuned, I guess, and we'll let you know if we get some bills that are worth hearing and or we want to hear, or if you have additional guests to bring in, like the commissioner. Or, we had President Gamble here as well last week. So if there's nothing else, we're adjourned.